Hello again. Allow me to pose a question. How do you say goodbye? It seems so often in our lives we are saying farewell as we leave and go on our ways, or someone says goodbye to us. In this season of graduations throughout the land, students of all ages are saying farewell as they graduate from universities, high schools, and here at Holy Trinity Grade School. Students are saying farewell to their teachers, and most of all, their fellow students. And while in some ways sad, they are mostly joyful because they have achieved their academic purpose and are moving on to the next stage of their development. But then there are the farewells that are difficult and sorrowful, as when a loved one passes, or we leave a job, or lose a significant relationship. Certainly during this COVID-19 virus crisis, there are many such farewells. One day the person was there and the next day gone, and we stumble along trying to adjust to the absence of someone who was once very present and real in our lives. At such times, it can indeed take a long time to say goodbye. Our readings today present not one, but two farewells. Paul's farewell to the Christian community at Ephesus, and Jesus' farewell to his apostles at the Last Supper. And both these farewells may teach us something about the goodbyes in our lives. And now I'm going to review them. Today's first reading from the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how Paul, after he has assembled the leaders of the Christian community at Ephesus, says farewell to them with these words, quote, "You know how I lived among you the whole time from the day I first came to the province of Asia. I served the Lord with all humility and with the tears and trials that came to me," unquote. Then later Paul states, quote, "But now I know that none of you to whom I preached the kingdom during my travels will ever see my face again," unquote. Yes, in Ephesus, Paul lived and Paul served. And we have a sense that Paul cried as he said farewell to his Ephesian community. It is easy to recognize that Paul is heartbroken. He is troubled as he says goodbye. He will miss his friends and his family of faith. We can certainly identify with Paul's feelings, for we have had such feelings ourselves, have we not? Also in this passage from Acts, Paul reviews his ministry with them, and by so doing, sets up a transition for them. Listen to Paul's words, quote, "I did not at all shrink from telling you what was for your benefit, from teaching you in public or in your homes. I earnestly bore witness for both Jews and Greeks to repentance before God and to faith in our Lord Jesus," unquote. In so many words, Paul develops a succession plan. And as this chapter indicates, Paul advises them to choose worthy successors who will continue the ministry of proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah around the Aegean region of Ephesus and beyond. Now, Jesus does something similar to Paul in chapter 17 of John's Gospel. Now, I should note that chapter 17 of this gospel is the culmination of what is known as the farewell discourse. Beginning in chapter 14 through chapter 17, the writer of John's gospel has Jesus saying a long goodbye. Today's gospel is the final section of this long farewell and is known as the high priestly prayer. Taken as a whole, the farewell discourse is Jesus' intercessory prayer to the Father for the sake of the apostles. Notice these words. "I revealed your name to those you gave me out of the world. They belong to you, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." In various other parts of Jesus' farewell discourse, we get that sense that Jesus is in distress about what is ahead for him, what is ahead for his apostles. Later in this 17th chapter, in verse 20, Jesus prays, quote, "I pray not only for them, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, so that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us. Folks, this prayer of Jesus is not just about his apostles, but about you and me. Jesus is praying for all those who came before us and all who will come after us. Think about it and ponder. Might Jesus in his farewell discourse be inviting us to believe that through this unity that God has with all humanity, there are no final farewells. There are no everlasting goodbyes. I get this sense of faith every time I preside at a funeral and pray these closing words as we dismiss the congregation and as we say farewell to the deceased. Quote, "Into your hands, Father of mercies, we commend our brother or sister in the sure and certain hope that together with all who have died in Christ, he or she will rise with him on the last day. We give you thanks for the blessings which you have bestowed upon this person in this life. They are signs to us of your goodness and of our fellowship with the saints in Christ. O merciful Lord, turn toward us and listen to our prayers. Open the gates of paradise to your servant and help us who remain to comfort one another with assurances of faith until we all meet in Christ and are with you and with our brother or sister forever. Amen." Unquote. Notice these phrases, that together with all who have died in Christ, to comfort one another with assurances of faith until we all meet in Christ. Friends, do you get a sense how these words come straight from Jesus' farewell discourse and how our faith invites us to believe, as Paul believed, that in and through Christ there are no final goodbyes, that while on earth we have, do, and will say goodbye, often sadly and sorrowfully, that we nevertheless will one day be together again, that perhaps our last goodbye on earth will, through Christ's embracing love, be hello again in heaven.